And it's, you know, it's like I had to go through a lot of things in my life that that weren't too fun at times, mostly because of choices I made along the way. So it is good to definitely, you know, once I found Christ and really started to put Him more first in my life, things changed in a lot better way for my life anyway. So that's a good thing for graduates to hear. So. So Diane asked me if I would do the message today, because Audrey's graduating and stuff, and so it's a little emotional for me. I hope this goes the way I want it to go, but I prayed a lot about it, and God was very quick, actually, very quick to tell me what I need to talk about today. He actually wanted me to talk about three separate things. And it, like a shortened version. And everybody knows when I talk about God, I like to talk a lot. It seems like it just like things just flow. So luckily for you, oh, I got to leave early. So I got three things. Praise God. Right? Praise God. So in this little message I kind of came up with that God gave to me, He wanted me to give you a little bit of a warning to start. And then He wanted me to talk about the hope that's out there. The hope that you've kind of heard a little bit about so far. And then He gave me a challenge to each and every one of us. Okay? This message is directed towards the graduates, but it's really meant for all of us. I mean, it's meant for me as much as it is for you. So when you graduate, in my mind, it's kind of like, now you're an adult, you know? And most of the graduates here probably thought they were an adult at probably 10 years old, roughly. They kind of knew that they, you know, that they knew everything. And that's okay, because I knew everything at 10 years old, too. So that's just the way it went, you know? When you're 10 years old, you think you know everything, right? But really, in my mind, 18 is when you graduate, and now you're kind of moving away, you're becoming more independent, you're more of an adult. And it's very important to understand that. And there's things that come with being an adult. Okay? And so God said to me, He said, You gotta send a little warning out first. Okay? In this world, especially in this day and age where we got so many different multimedia information out there, we got different ideas from different people, including parents and grandparents and friends and family members. There's a lot of deception out there in this world. A lot of deception. There's a lot of different groups of people. And whenever you get a group of people together, there's an agenda. And everybody has an agenda. And even within yourself, you have an agenda. You don't really realize it sometimes, but you have an agenda. And you got to remember that some of these people out there that are out there saying things along the way have been deceived themselves. And so they believe in the deceptions that they were told along the way. Okay? So this is just a little warning of deception, okay? And in the Bible, it talks about deception. It talks about deception in a lot of different ways. But I chose some scriptures. Noah, are we going to be able to pull up the scriptures? I chose some scriptures that are going to talk about this, okay? And because there's so much deception in the world, I just want to tell you guys, you graduates and everybody else out here, not to take everything at face value. Okay? People you love are going to tell you things that are wrong sometimes. Not because they intentionally want to do it, just because it happens. We're humans. And that's what happens sometimes. Okay? Don't be afraid to investigate things. Okay? Don't look at one source. Okay? If I align myself with one group of people, and I'm always listening to them, and I don't listen to any other version, then I'm going to be in trouble with the way I'm thinking. Because I'm not getting a widespread viewpoint of what the reality is. Okay? Check with multiple sources. Just really look into it. You know, investigate it. If you hear something that inside you says, I don't know. Something inside me is saying something's not quite lining up with what's being said here. And it could be a professor. It can be a teacher. It can be your parents. It can be me standing up here talking to you right now. If something doesn't line up right, then it's up to you as an individual, as an adult now, to investigate this and figure out what the truth lies, where the truth lies. So we're going to go to Matthew 7:15. This is actually the scripture that kind of really started making me think. When I was younger, probably 3/4 of my life, I was like almond joy and mounds. Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't, right? I mean, that's what it is. You know, it's just like sometimes people would tell me things when I was younger and I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I believe what you're saying. And somebody over here would tell me the exact opposite thing. And I would sit there and I'd go, yeah, that makes sense. I believe that. And that's 3/4 of my life I spent listening to that. Without ever going back and saying, was what they're saying really true? I don't know. You know? So probably about 1/4 of my life I spent being a little bit more skeptical. Now you would have thought I would have been more skeptical because I like science. And my mind is science-based, so you're supposed to test theories, right? Prove theories, right? That's the whole idea. But I was still very, naive. I just like people. I always wanted to feel good. I always wanted to feel like I fit in. I always wanted to people that like me, so I would never challenge them. And I'm not saying you have to challenge them every time that you feel like you have to challenge them. Like, I'm just saying, you need to find out for yourself. Where do you stand on these things? I'm not saying you have to disagree with everybody and debate everybody. What I'm saying is, for yourself, where do you stand? How do you think? So, Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets who comes disguised as a harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. There's people who deceive not on purpose, like I said before, but there are people who deceive on purpose. And the reason that they deceive on purpose is to push their agenda. Which is okay. That's their thought. That's what they're doing. They know what's going on. They're moving in that way. That's between them and God and whoever else they're affecting with that. But a responsibility lies within us to find the truth so that we are not deceived. And then that we don't go out and say that same deception to other people. Right? We don't want to be those type of people. We want to find the truth that sets within us. If we go to 1 John 4:1, now being science-based in my mind and stuff, and always having to prove things and stuff like that, it took me a long time to understand and really understand the Bible when they're talking about spirits. And in case you don't know, there is spirits out there. There's good spirits and there's bad spirits. There's evil spirits that lead you. And it took me a long time to realize that. And once it finally clicked and the blinders came off my eyes, all of a sudden I could see it. I could see it all around. And it is amazing to see how spirits work. It's ridiculous is what it is. So be cautious of that. But here it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." These are spirits that talk to you, talk to your mind. They tell you lies sometimes, these evil spirits. They tell you you're not worthy. They tell you you'd be better off dead than alive. They're lies. And so you've got to be cautious of this stuff. "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So he's warning us. This Bible that's so old is warning us. There's false prophets all around us. Okay, so don't be deceived. Don't listen to everything that you're hearing. Make sure you test it. I can't emphasize it enough. This particular portion is what God really wanted me to emphasize, it seemed like. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. It says, "Let no one in any way deceive you. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." The man of lawlessness, who knows what that is? Satan, right? Satan. There's good and evil. You can see it in the world every day. Turn on your news, you'll see it. You'll see evil plastered from 6 until 7 at night. Right? World news. You'll see it plastered everywhere. You look at what's going on in England. You look what's going on in Paris. You look what's going on in our own country. There's evil. People doing evil things. That is not natural, to do evil things. Nobody will ever tell me that it's natural for people to do evil things to each other. It doesn't make sense. Everybody's trying to live the best life they can. Everybody wants to get through their life the best way they can before they die. So why would people do evil things to each other? It just doesn't make sense. But again, it says don't be deceived. The last scripture here in this little part here, Romans 16:17. "I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them." So you can see there's some heavy-duty scriptures here that talk about deception, protecting yourself, and investigating. And why does God put that in the Bible? And these are just, I could have probably pulled out another 20. But I mean, these kind of hit me the most. So why is it so important to really get the feel of this? Why does he post it all over in the Old Testament and New Testament? It's because he loves you. Because even if you don't realize it, God loves you. Even if you've never known God or understood God, He loves you. Even the ones doing evil things, He doesn't like. He disgusts with and hates the evil things that they're doing. But He loves the individual. That's a hard thing to understand. It's a hard thing to understand. And He wants you to succeed and prosper. That's why He gives us all these warnings. That's why He gave us this book. To understand a little bit better. It's pummeled with warnings. And once I realized that in my life, then it changed. It changed how I look at things. And so people say, after talking about this, I was thinking to myself, you're saying look at multiple sources. But yet, you base your life off of one book. And I'll say this to whoever challenges that. The reason that I go off this book is because it has been challenged. It gets challenged every day. And there is atheists like Lee Strommel. Lee Strommel was an atheist. And his mission was to prove that this book was invalid. It was an invalid book. That there was lies in there. That people were being deceived. And so what did he do? He investigated it. He was a journalist. He investigated it. Tooth and nail. His wife had become a Christian and he wanted to prove her wrong. Boy, we like to do that as guys, don't we? To prove our wives wrong. Want to prove her wrong. And so what he did is he investigated it. And what ended up happening is he couldn't find fault with it and became a Christian. Boy, it's crazy, isn't it? And there's more people like that. There's stories out there of these people who want to prove this thing wrong. And they investigate it and they can't. And so, by doing so, he puts out videos now talking about his investigation, the proof of what he found. You know, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. But God wants you to succeed and prosper. And so, by doing so, he's saying, look at this thing. Open it up. See what it says. See how it guides you. Okay? And it's very important as graduates, as people who believe and people who don't believe, figure it out. Investigate it. I challenge you to do that. He doesn't want you to go through unnecessary harm. Life is tough, and I'm going to talk about that next. Life is tough enough. But to make decisions off of warnings that say, don't do this, and then have to pay a consequence like what I had to do in my life, and I'm still doing in my life at times. It's warning us, and yet we're just doing what we want to do, and then we have to pay a price for it. And it's just unfortunate that we have to go that road. And sometimes for me, I'm a little bit more stubborn. I'm thick-headed. So sometimes I need somebody to slap me on the back of the head. And God has done that so many times. Slap me on the back of the head and said, hey, I told you before, don't do that. And yet, here I am doing it. It's crazy. So don't be deceived. That's the first topic. Okay? Very important. And like I was saying, sometimes you can do things perfect by the Bible, follow the warnings, try to be the best person you can be, you investigate, you're not deceived, and yet bad things are still going to happen to you in your life. And that is the most challenging thing to deal with. There's a lot of hurts in this life. We go through things. We go through sickness. We go through trials. We watch people get tortured. We turn on the news and we see people getting killed. And it all hurts. And so the big question becomes always, why would a God let this happen? Right? So I'm going to challenge you to investigate that. Investigate that. He doesn't want this stuff to happen. It goes back to choices again. But at times, there's going to be a time in your life that's a little bit more will hit you a little harder than if you're out to dinner and you spill a drink and it goes all over your pants. That's devastating. Okay? But it's not as devastating as some other things that can come down your road. Okay? People freak out so fast over stupid things sometimes. I mean, I'm like that. If I spill something on me, it's like, I can't believe this happened. The worst day of my life ever. I'm so embarrassed. But there will be times. There will be times that it's going to be tougher than that. It's hard to believe. Tougher than that. And even when you don't deserve it. And as I'm a fan of the Rocky movies. I just love Rocky. I started Audrey watching them young. I think there's some great lessons in Rocky. I could do a sermon related to Rocky and Christ, and it's just. But anyways, as Rocky Balboa says in one of his movies, you, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. And that is true. Nothing anybody's going to do is going to hit as hard as life. And there's going to come a time when you're going to have to face things that you don't want to face. And that's just reality. Reality. I pray that you never have to go through a single thing. Every single person here. But the reality is that's not true. And I don't know, I work with a lot of people. I hear a lot of stories. And everybody seems to go through something. And when this happens, I'm going to encourage you to trust in God and not to pull away from God. Because that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants you to pull away from God. Why? So that you are not as in contact with understanding how not to get yourself in trouble. He wants you to make bad decisions. He wants you to be harmed. And God is saying, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Let's see what he says. If we go to Romans 8:28. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Doesn't matter how strong the current, he will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Who will be with you? God will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. That's what God is saying. And I've seen it. I've seen it through Lainey. I've seen it through others. Dealing with cancer is not an easy thing to deal with. Right, Lainey? But God is good. And He will not let you get scorched. I get burnt a little bit. Doesn't feel good. It hurts. But He's going to be with you. Psalm 46:1. If any of the graduates or anybody else wants to know words of encouragement by God, spend time in Psalms. Psalms is encouragement. It's a beautiful place to set your eyes on. When you're feeling down, and you feel like you can't move anymore, pull out Psalms. Start reading that. You'll hear about other people's struggles and how God helped them. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. He's not saying Reggie only. He's not saying Malcolm only. He's not saying Steve only. He's saying it to every single person. We are all His. He created us. And He created us for a reason. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Sounds familiar. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Is God calling? So even in challenging times, you're going to hit roadblocks. You're going to have issues. I'm going to encourage you to get closer to God. And watch where He leads you. See how He brings you through these things. When you're stuck in the mud, how do I get out of the mud? Let Him guide you. There's so many times I've been stuck at times. And I've been in places where I didn't know what to do. And I try to do it on my own. And it does not work. Sometimes it does, but not often. And so I look back and I say, after when I finally break down, and it shouldn't go this way, but when I finally let up, when I finally say, I can't do anything else, what can I do? Then I look to God. And what I should do is look to God first and avoid all that turmoil, the hours I spent trying to deal stuck in this spot, and listen to what He says first. It's just what should happen. But we learn. It's a journey. It's a tough journey sometimes. It's a great journey. There's a lot of great things. The good things definitely outweigh the bad things. Why? Because God wants it to. Right? He wants you to feel loved. And if we paid attention to those things a little bit more, that would be a good thing. Wouldn't it? But we always tend to remember the bad things, right? And what we need to do sometimes is change our focus. Right? Yeah, bad things happen. That thing happened. 20 things good happened. But yet we're focused on this one bad thing. Right? So let's focus more on the positive. But when those bad things happen, remember where to look. Who to go to. You can come to Reggie, but that doesn't mean I can help you. Maybe I'll pray with you. Alright, so we have, don't be deceived, God is there for you. Okay, that's the hope. So let's do the last thing. Let's do the challenge. Now in the Bible, you can look again, time after time, there's an important theme that comes up. And that's helping other people. And that's what we're going to show a video that Jen sent me this morning, never talking to her about what I was going to talk about. She sent me a video, and that's what it's on, is helping people. That's the theme. Listen to the words. There is no words on the screen with this, so you're going to have to listen. And pay attention to the video, because the video is going to show you some actions. And it makes sense. As a human being, we're supposed to be caring for each other. We were created for a purpose. You could say that you have all kinds of different purposes in your life. We all have our own special skills. We all have our special minds. We all have a lot of variations in our lives. Right? But there is one common purpose that should always happen. And that's to help others. We were not made to destroy others, which I was saying earlier, that's just unnatural. But to help others. To help others, not only monetary-wise, money-wise, not only physically-wise, maybe you go over and help somebody, maybe not only verbally-wise, encouraging somebody, but everything. Take every opportunity It's something I've done, I think, my whole life. And oftentimes people say, why do you do that? You have no time. How do you get time to do that? You have limited money. I got a kid going to college now, trying to figure out how to get money to do that. How do you do that? How do you do that? But God made us for a purpose. And it's not about me. It's about everyone here. And it's about a God that loves us and showing that person that He loves them too. Right? So important. So important. Let's see what Proverbs says. Proverbs 22:9. Some of these things that I'm going to read, there's a secondary benefit to helping others. And a lot of times you will be blessed because you help others, even when you don't think you can. But that should not be the reason that you do this. The reason you should help others is because God asks us to, and because it's the right thing to do. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. So again, there's that secondary benefit, right? God knows that we are stubborn. That we are fleshy little people that are selfish. And so He gives a little encouragement at times to help us to understand this. And my mother brought me up in a way that said, you help other people. If you're hurting, you go out and help them. If you have very little, you go out and help them. And it's amazing to see the times that after she stepped out and did this stuff, that something would turn her way. And the same thing has happened in my life. Where all of a sudden, when I was almost in a little trouble, I was blessed and something got me out of that. Mostly related, and if you think about it, to something that I had done prior, or my mother had done, or you have done prior. But we're not paying attention to that stuff. And we need to pay attention, because then you get to see when this happens. It is not a coincidence. It is not a coincidence. The more I learn and see God's working, the less I believe in coincidences. It's amazing. Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And so if I want God on my side, which He always is, then like a parent, as a child, it's natural to want to please your parent. And it should be natural for us to want to please God as a parent of us, the Creator. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for sacrifices are pleasing to God. I don't know, that's pretty powerful stuff to me. Now, when I was 18, I could listen to that and probably wouldn't care. Tell you the truth. I was probably like, hey, those are nice words. But as you get older, you're going to look back and you're going to say, maybe in the future, maybe not, that crazy guy that was talking up in front of the church, I remember him saying something like this. And it's true. It's true because it comes from the Bible. Philippians 2:4. Here's a hard one for us. This is very hard. Especially in the United States, it seems like we've become such a selfish country. And I love the United States. We have room to grow like as we do as an individual. But it says, let each of you look not only on his own interests. That's it. I'm out. I want to look after me. It's all about me, right? And if it makes me happy, then that's all that matters, right? It's not true. It's a lie. That's a deception. Deceived by people. Do not... where was that? Let each of you look not on his own interest, but also the interest of others. There's a key word there, but also, that hits me. So he's not saying neglect your own interests, right? You should care for yourself. You should look after yourself. But you're not the only one. But also to the interest of others. Now he doesn't quantify, okay, you're going to do 75% for others and 25% for yourself. Right? There's no percentages there. So you got to internally have that own discussion with you and God to figure out what that is for you. And only you as an individual can determine that. Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor leaves to the Lord, and he will repay them for his deeds. So you can see that there's a lot of emphasis on helping people. And the poor is kind of a generic term. We always think money, right? Poor. That's not necessarily true. It doesn't say poor in finances. It just says poor. So you can be poor in spirituality. You can be poor in physicality. You can be poor in multiple mentally. You can also be poor in financially. So there's a lot of areas that people out there are struggling. There's a lot of struggle in the world. And the only way to change the world, to really help a nation, a world in all, is to help as much as you can on an individual basis. Don't be afraid. Don't let time hold you back. People volunteering these days, it's very tough to get volunteers these days. I listen to people talking about organizations, it's always the same people volunteering for everything, it seems like. I don't care what organization you're in, you're going to hear the same thing these days. It's the same people doing the same things over and over again. Other people love the idea. Other people, when the idea comes up, says, I want to be part of that. But then as soon as the time comes to do it, the action falls short. And I'm no better than anybody else. There's been times where I've been physically tired. There's been times when I didn't have time. Or I didn't think I had time. Or I convinced myself I didn't have time. But in the end, there was times where I should have stepped up and helped more. And so I'm challenging you as a group of people to get more active. to help more people, to volunteer more, to not only look at the money aspect, but to look at more. It's amazing that if you physically do more, the money aspect goes down, because they don't have to pay for stuff to be done. Isn't that funny? It's weird how all that works, huh? So that's the message I have. The message of don't be deceived. Okay? Investigate. When tough times come, look to God. Don't push away. And then to go out in the community, friends, family, people you don't know, people you don't like, and help others. And I think those are pretty strong words by God. I think that God laid that on my heart for myself and for others too, not just for the graduates. So it's all something that we can take heed to that. So I'm just going to say a quick little prayer. We'll play that video, and then Joe's going to take over and finish up the service. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for this message you gave me. For you putting these thoughts in my heart. For when this whole 3 weeks have been crazy in my life with graduation and tennis and studying for tests and all these things going on, that you still gave me time to get this done. That you provided the time for this. I pray that each person here steps out in faith. That these words that were spoken actually mean something. That they actually get something out of this talk. That it wasn't just some frivolous act of religiosity. You don't like that type of thing. And neither do I. I pray that these words that were spoken cause action. Not just to think about, but to actually put into play. And we have fears that hold us back. And so I pray that we bind those fears right now. And that we just continue to step forward in your faith. We pursue you and you pursue us. It's a two-way street. And we just love that about you. And I pray for this community. I pray for other graduates, the whole 2017 class of this area, especially Berlin, Gorham, Milan, Dummer, Shelburne, Randolph, Errol, wherever they are. This area needs help, needs volunteers, needs people stepping out in faith. And so I pray that happen. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Pay attention to the video, it's good. Choices, isn't it? Like you can see, everybody has a choice, right? The lady's raking her own yard. She looks over at the neighbor. She goes over and helps him. That's a choice that she makes. I mean, it gives me goosebumps to think about that. But it's not all big things, right? The tube's rolling by. I mean, it could go in the road. Kid gets hit. You don't know, right? So the